Well, speaking of that, I don't need to. Good morning. How you doing? It's good to be here again. It's really a privilege just to be able to share the Lord's Word with you and just to be here with you guys. It's fun to come back. Family couldn't come up. There was some stuff going on that the girls were involved with at our home church in Cambria, so they send their greetings. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you would receive, again, all worship and glory and praise, Lord. That is the attitude of our hearts, that we would do nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of fear, Lord, but that we would just truly worship you just because you're God, just because you deserve it, just because you're Lord, Lord of the universe and Lord of our lives. We ask your blessings on Neil and Nancy. Is there a way, Lord, that you would just build them up and let them be renewed and re-strengthened and receive all that you have for them in this time as they're traveling down south to go to the pastor's conference, Lord. We just pray that you would impart a special blessing upon them, that they would come back just invigorated and renewed and full of your life and strength, Lord Jesus. Amen. Anybody ever feel unproductive or ineffective? I don't know. It just seems to be something that the Lord always is dealing with me. I know some of that is actually sin. I think it's a sin not to walk in all that God's given me. And sometimes we forget, and we just think, oh, it's just me. I'm just being lazy or whatever. And I don't know. I'm starting to see more and more that if I'm not walking in what God has given me to walk in, then I'm walking in sin. And the Lord's given me some scripture this morning to look at that speaks to productiveness and effectiveness. And I just pray that you'll find something that you can apply in this. I do struggle a lot with, Lord, is this really what you want? Or, you know, is this just me? Is this just something that's only for my benefit? Or is it something to share? And I don't know. I just suffer from that, from inadequacy or whatever. And the Lord gave me a scripture a couple weeks ago that I've been holding on to and I'll share with you. It came through a devotional I've been reading, a morning and evening devotional by Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the 18th century preacher. Anyway, it goes something like this. Spurgeon's quoting Ecclesiastes 9:4, and he says, "A living dog keeps better watch than a dead lion and is of more service to his master. And so the poorest spiritual preacher is infinitely to be preferred to the exquisite orator who has no wisdom but that of words and no energy but that of sound." So I take comfort in that, knowing that the poorest spiritual preacher is like that live dog, better than a dead lion. So I hold on to that for myself. And I think we can take comfort in that too, that no matter how ineffective and unproductive we might feel, that God is using us right where we're at, wherever we're at. So let's look at the word this morning. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I think I'm going to begin just by reading all the way down from verse 1 through... Gosh, let's just read the whole chapter. Let's read the whole chapter together. I'm reading out of the NIV, so yours may differ a little bit. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's 1 Peter chapter 1. I really feel that God's got a lot for us in there, and I could probably just sit down now and that'd be enough for us to chew on. But even though that's tempting, I'm going to go ahead and press on. I see three keys to this passage of Scripture that we need to apply to our life. And if we do apply these three things, there's just three main things I see that God's saying that we need to do to make this real in our life, to make it work. So I see three things. I see remembrance. Peter keeps saying over and over again, remember, remember, I want you to remember. He says to give diligence in the King James, where it says to make every effort, or in the NIV they use the translation make every effort, but Peter says give diligence. And there's a diligence that he's calling us into, a diligence that he wants us to walk in. And then there's this business of adding to. The third thing is adding to, and we're going to get into those three things as we move along in the Scripture. I'm going to reread verses 4 through 8 here. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. God's given us many great and precious promises, and I don't think he intends that we be overwhelmed by all of his promises at once, because I think I do that. I go, gosh, Lord, there's so much in here, and I'm not even scratching the surface. I'm not even starting. I'm not even trying. I'm just barely keeping my neck above water. And I see that he doesn't want us to walk that way. He just wants us to take the two or three things that are current, that he's working on in our life. There's always a place where we're at, a fresh place that he wants to move us into. And if we can just start with that, the two or three promises that he might be adding to us right now, that we can add to that. And that's what we're going to get into this adding to in just a few minutes. So he says then, as he moves on, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And these are eight things that I see he wants us to be walking in. These eight things. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That's a lot, kind of. That's a big bite, you know. Lord, how can we do that, you know? And I see that these things aren't so much as a sum total, but they're a progression. I see that we start off with something, and we start off with faith. You wouldn't be here if we didn't have at least some faith. We wouldn't know the Lord at all if we didn't have at least some faith. And he wants us to add to those things, and we'll see that in a few minutes. And then he finishes up that particular set of verses with, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So we have a plan here, I see, a plan for coming against ineffectiveness and unproductiveness, that that God can actually start to pull us up out of that place of being ineffective and unproductive, and we can actually begin to see steps that he's giving us. So the first of these three keys that I see are remembrance. He's calling us into remembrance. He's saying, you know this stuff, and I'm not condemning you for not remembering it, but I want to keep stirring this memory up in you. I want to keep over and over again, if I have to, keep saying the same stuff until we get it. So God wants to stir our memories up, and Peter's quite well aware of that. And I think Peter, of all guys in the Word, might have benefited a lot from being reminded constantly, because he liked to wander off on his own like we do sometimes and get a little presumptuous and stuff. And the Lord, I think, is calling us into that remembrance. Peter states that one of the chief goals in his writing is to ensure that we would remember, and these great and precious promises that God has for us is something that we can't set aside. We have to write them. I know in the Word it talks about, you know, writing the scriptures on our doorsteps and on our entryways and every place that we can think of, on our refrigerators. I imagine if they had refrigerators, they would have mentioned that in the Word. But wherever it takes, put little remembrances in your path. I think that it's not unholy or unspiritual to use little gimmicks to help us remember. If there's a particular scripture that God is having you hold on to, put it everywhere. Put it on the dashboard of your car. You know, that's not unscriptural. On your medicine cabinet, you know, in a mirror, wherever. You know, I know a lot of us are knowing this, and a lot of us are already doing this, but it's good just to remind ourselves to do this stuff. Remembrance is really important. I found in my study that there was three different words used for to remember, and the first one that he uses in verse 12 in this passage is the Greek word tupos. And the interesting thing about that is this word is the same word that is used for a die, like a tool and die, like in manufacturing, to stamp things out, to shape things, a pattern. For seamstresses, it's a pattern. Remembrance is a pattern. Most people need some kind of a pattern to work from to make a garment. You know, it works really well to have something to work from. And so the Word of God and the remembrance of the Word of God is like a pattern. It's like a die. It's like a stamp in our life that can shape us. So I think Peter's saying that he wants to stamp this indelibly into our mind, this need of remembering God's promises in our lives, this important ingredient in our life. The other words that he uses for remembrance are a little bit more conventional. They basically just involve, you know, reminding and remembering, just constantly reminding each other. I think that's one of the purposes of gathering together as a body on Sunday, on midweek, and just in being neighbors and friends, that we can remind each other of all these things that God is holding us and keeping us with and holding our lives together with. And especially as we know that God is working on something in somebody else, that we can stir them up. How's it going? You know, how are you doing with that? I know God's working with you in the area of whatever it is. If it's weakness in morality or, you know, temptation to sin, whatever our particular our area that God's working on, we can work on, especially as we call each other into remembrance. I think that we just need sometimes little spiritual strings tied around our finger to help us remember. God can prompt us through just living next to one another and through just little ways that we can remind each other. So that's, you know, really an important ingredient, I think, in applying God's Word to our life and applying His promises, is just finding those little things that can help us remember. The next thing I see that he wants us to get out of this passage is diligence, or giving diligence. It emphasizes a need to apply ourselves. You know, it's sometimes I feel like when I'm sitting in the middle of unproductiveness and stuff, that God is saying, well, what exactly have you done? You know, it's like, it's not that we have to do to be saved or to earn God's favor, but if we want to grow, we have to do stuff. If you want to grow in your physical body, you got to work out. It takes some diligence. There's a lot of areas in our life that we've learned to be diligent, to be effective, to make effort, as the Word says, to make every effort. Sometimes in our job, you know, we don't survive very well in a job if we don't learn to give diligence, to put out an effort into that job. We've got hobbies that we've learned to be diligent about, to make a, I don't know, just think of hobbies like, well, I used seamstressing and dressmaking. We can apply ourselves and do a really good job, and do well, and make really wonderful things. We can, if we're into pottery or whatever, there's a diligence. You know, there's nothing less attractive than something just slopped together, you know. And we learn that as we go along in all of our things, in sporting activities, whatever, you name it, in golf. You know, a sloppy golfer isn't going to get very far. You know, you have to learn these certain things you've got to learn to do. Your grip and your swing, and you have to be diligent about it. And I think that God wants us to be diligent in our application of His promises and His Word. Let's see. I have some word studies I've done on diligence. We won't even need to get into that. But basically, the words that God gives us in the original language imply this. There's an earnestness and a business-like haste about it. There's an urgency, if you will, about applying His Word. And I think sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just kind of think it's just going to osmose into our life just by, you know, picking up the Word every once in a while when it strikes us and so forth. So I think it's really not unspiritual, again, to set a pattern in our life, to set even a written schedule, if you will, to say, I get up and I pick up the Word, and at 8:10 to 8:30 is my time to read the Word, you know, or whatever. It's not unspiritual to set a pattern like that in our life. And I feel that if we'll do that, if we'll make some effort, we'll put that extra measure into it, that God'll do what He says. Backing up into verse 3, it says that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So it's not our power, but yet it's sort of like plugging into the wall. You know, we've got this wonderful, a wonderful organ, but without being plugged in, it's just a wooden box with a bunch of gadgetry inside of it. We've got to plug it into the power source. And that's what we've got to learn to do too, is our diligence, our remembrance, and as we're going to talk about in a minute, our adding to our faith are all our means, our part, our plugging in that we've got to do in order to appropriate all that God's got for us. It's a great Bible, it's a great Word, but if we don't do our part, it's like, you know, not getting plugged into the source. One person I heard this week at a study I went to put it this way, and on the way to church this morning, I saw Patty's, I think it's your cat. You guys have a white cat? It's sort of your cat. You're sitting underneath your tree, looking up into that tree, and man, it was a statue. It was obviously focused on something, I'm going to presume a bird. And cats are like that. That's diligence. You can't move that cat. In fact, I've seen cats so focused, you can kick them, and it's kind of like it takes them a minute, they got to shake it off, and what's that? They're so tuned in to that object of their intention, which is probably its next meal or whatever, that, you know, they're not swayed. They're not, you know, going to let little things bother them. Their little ears perk up, and you might see them twitch a little bit as they're getting their body ready to pounce or whatever, but they're tuned in. That's a picture of diligence for me, that I want to do. I want to tune into God that way. I want to get so focused that nothing's going to sway me. So, let's see. Now, the third area, the third key to this passage, I think, is adding to. Let's back up all the way to verse 1. And look at what Peter has said there. We just need to be adding to our faith. In this passage, it says, it starts off in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. We've received a faith as precious as Peter's himself, as Paul himself. There's a faith that we've already gotten. It's like we can't stand there and say, God, I want faith, I want faith. He's given us that faith. We need to exercise it. We need to open ourselves to it. I think there's many times we've closed our own being off to certain areas of our life. I heard it said, too, that it'd be like sort of walking into a room and say, God, I need to go into that room. I need to be in that room, Lord. And He's saying, tap, tap, Mike, you're already in the room. Oh, okay. We've already got the faith. He's given it us. We've received it. Now it's our job to see what He has in that for us. We need to experience that faith. We need to allow that faith to become real to us. So it's not amiss to ask God, Lord, increase my faith. But the way He does that isn't by giving us more faith as so much as opening our eyes to the faith that He's already given us and the things and the promises that He's already given us. So in verse 2 he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace and the peace come as we just do the things that he's given us to do. It's already ours in abundance through the knowledge of God and through Jesus Christ, through the Word, which is how I think we receive most of our knowledge. There's other ways we can experience knowledge of the Lord. But he basically does it as we apply the Word. We receive it into our mind, and then as that Word channels down into our spirit and becomes part of our life, then that's how we experience that abundance, that grace and peace in abundance that it talks about in verse 2. Then in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So it's his calling on our life. It's his power. He supplies everything that we need, and it's our job to just apply it, to give that diligence, that remembrance, and then, as we're going to talk about in a second, that adding to that we need so much. We need to add to that faith that he's begun in us. So we start off with a kernel, a little mustard seed of faith, and he's going to add to that. So the source, as we see in verse 3, is him. It's not within ourselves. Praise the Lord for that. It's his source. We plug into him and we receive it. And then the word again for that power, as you've probably all studied and heard before, is that word dunamis, that word where dynamite. We get the English word dynamite. It's that dunamis power. It's all of him, and it's not about us. So we just need to grab onto it. And Zechariah says that it's not by our might or by power, but by his spirit. So God will use our heart, the one that we've given to him, to accomplish his purpose and his will. And it's just simply our part to do these 8 things. I'm going to just kind of conclude here by just mentioning these 8 things that he's given us. We're supposed to add to our faith goodness. He's given us a measure of faith. It's our part to add to that faith goodness. Now, I don't think he wants us to manufacture goodness, but we're supposed to be adding it to our faith. So I think it's just a little quick self-test, Lord. I need to add goodness to my faith. Show me in my life how I can apply goodness to that faith you've given me. How can I portray your goodness to others? How can I be that goodness to other people? And then to that goodness, knowledge. We use all the things that he's given us to apply knowledge. There's the word itself. There's teaching tapes. There's showing up to different studies in the word and all that God's given us that he's put in our life to do and to receive. He has many ways of applying knowledge to us. It can just be by prayer. He can just increase his knowledge of himself to us through tapping in our prayer life. Self-control. I think a lot of us struggle with that. But that's something that we can acknowledge. Say, Lord, I have problems in the area of self-control, be it in eating or just other things that take us away from him, drinking, eating, hobbies, the things that little distractions in life that can take us away from that place of sitting at his feet. A lot of times he wants to work on us with that. But that's something, again, that's provided by his power. We just have to acknowledge it and to make effort to apply ourselves. Perseverance. It's easy to get discouraged. He says to add to your self-control perseverance. So we'll take a little bit of self-control that we have. We obviously have some. And persevere. Say, Lord, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to fall. I'm going to stumble, fall. And I can pick myself back up, and I'm going to persevere. That's something that we have to do. That's, again, our part, is persevering. Godliness, that's something that he adds to us through the faith, through the goodness, through the knowledge, through the self-control, through perseverance. All those things will lead to godliness. I just see that these 8 things build up, and it's like a snowball rolling down a hill, getting bigger and bigger. In that godliness, brotherly kindness. I don't think we're supposed to put fake kindness in front of all these other things. I think that God will add his godly kindness to us as we are persevering in all the things that he's given us to do. And then the final thing is love. That brotherly kindness, I think, leads to love. It's a precursor to love. I in myself don't have the ability to love in the full power that God wants me to love. But as I can work on these things, this progression of virtue that God has given us in this passage, that I can be built up, and I can say that I do love because God has loved me and has given me the power to love through applying these things that he's given me to apply. So let's see. We have, again, these three things: remembrance. God wants us to remember. He wants us to take the things that He's given us and not forget them. So we need to apply these little things through whatever means that we can to remember God's Word. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to make an effort, a strong effort, an earnest effort, a powerful effort to apply these things. It's not just enough to say, okay, God, you know, pour it on me. We have to do that, yes, but then we have to do our part and put action to those words. And then again, He also wants us to be adding to those things. He wants us to be adding those eight virtues we just mentioned that are listed in 4 through 8. He wants us to take those things and make them a real part of our life. So I guess it comes down to a self-test. And we can do this simple thing. We can add, we can ask God in our prayer life. I would just put these on near the top of my prayer list. I would say, God, am I remembering? Am I taking time to remember Your Word and Your promises? If I am, great. Bless it more and make it more abundant. If I'm not, I'm not going to take any guilt for it, because that was one of the other things that we talked about. You know, it's all about Him. It's all about His power. It's all about His strength. We don't have, as it says in Romans, we don't have any condemnation. You know, it's just a matter of encouragement. We need to encourage one another. I think sometimes in our faith we maybe can get a little bit, you know, condemning of people that maybe aren't in the same place where we're at. But we can encourage and help strengthen. So that's the first thing, is remembrance. The second thing, again, is am I making every effort? Am I being diligent? Every effort's a pretty broad scope. I think we fall short of the every effort part. I think sometimes, you know, we make some effort. We make enough effort that's comfortable. We show up, but maybe that's all we do. Or maybe we show up and then we take the next step. But God's just saying, make every effort. Keep keeping on. Just don't give up. Persevere. And then the third thing, I guess, is growth. Am I growing in virtue? Am I adding to the faith that God gave me through this progression of eight virtues that He's given us to follow? So again, I see 2 Peter chapter 1 as just giving us a simple test, a simple pattern to apply to our life that'll help us to grow, that'll help us to have the things that He has for us, to help us to be productive. That's really the bottom line, is we want to be productive. I don't think there's a lot of people out there that say, oh Lord, I just want to just hang on until You get here. I just want to just be here and take up space. I think all of us want to feel like we're doing what God has given us to do. We want to feel productive. We want to feel like we're walking in the things that He's given us to walk in. So we've got a real simple pattern: remembering, giving diligence, and then adding to our faith. I really think that's all I have to say. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You knowing that Your Word is rich and full, and we just don't want to be intimidated by the grandness of Your Word, Lord. We don't want to shrink back and say, that's too much for me. We see that You are merciful and that You're kind, and You're understanding of our human frailty and weakness, Lord. That You give us a way that we can just take step by step and add to the things that You've already given us, so that we can, as the days and months and weeks and years go by, Lord, we can look back and say, You have increased, Lord, our faith. You have increased our diligence, Lord. You've made us a better person than what we started out being when we first came to know You, Lord. It's just sometimes a little bit overwhelming to see the example that You've laid down for us, Lord, by Your own life, and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm supposed to be becoming like You, but how? It's just too grand. It's too much for me. But Lord, we just can take heart that You've given us just a real simple, easy means of increasing, Lord. We can just say, Lord, I've got what I've got today. Bless me and add to it. I won't shrink back. I won't be intimidated. I won't be overwhelmed, Lord. But I'll just take what You've given me, and I won't walk in condemnation, Lord. I'll just take the little simple things that You've given me to do, and I'm going to do them with all the diligence that I can. Lord, I'm going to take what You've given me, and I'm going to apply whatever I have with my whole heart and do it. And Lord, as that happens, I will be able to see an increase in goodness in my life added to my faith. I will see that knowledge increase of You and Your Word, Lord. And I will have more self-control in my life, because You're giving it to me. You're giving me the ability. And to that self-control, Lord, I will be more perseverant. I will be able to hang in there even more so this year than I was able to hang in there last year and walk with you. And in that, I will become more godly. I can say I will be more like Jesus. And to that Christ-likeness, that godliness, I will be more kind. I will be more brotherly in my love towards the brethren. And in that, I will have that ultimate goal, that love that you have for me, Lord, to be able to just walk in your love, your real love, the love of Jesus, and not have anything false about it or anything put on, no air about me, Lord, of unreality, just that simple Christ-like love that you would have us to have in our life. And we know that having love is really all. You've said in many ways and times, Lord, and places, that's really the ultimate test of our faith, is that we would have love. And that's how others will know that we know you, is by our love, Lord. So we just ask that you would increase our love. In Jesus' name, amen.